Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to talk today about the movie Son of God and Roma Downey and her husband, Mark Burnett. They produced the movie, and there's been so much publicity surrounding this movie, and I've seen Roma Downey and her husband, Mark. Oh, they've been on so many different, and I put it in quotes, Christian programs, but who are these people, and are they Christians? Why does the body of Christ just about accept anything? So I'm going to go into a little bit of the background of these people, and my guest today is Phil Armstrong of the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio, and he actually saw the movie, so I'm going to bring him on. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how you doing, Susan?
Good. I'm just going to go over a little bit of the background. I was doing some investigating, and for people that don't know, Roma Downey, she was starred in a program called Touched by an Angel with a lady named Della Reese. And Della Reese is a New Age minister. I think her church is called something about Universal Light or whatever. But she's definitely not a born-again Christian. And anyway, she married Roma Downey and her husband, Mark. So my question is, how does someone, this couple that claims to be Christians, how do they allow a New Age practitioner to marry them? And also, a few years ago, there was a television program with a man called John Edward, and it was called Crossing Over. And this man, John Edward, is a psychic who talks to the dead. And he actually had Roma Downey on his program, and they communicated or tried to communicate with her dead mother. So, you know, it gets worse. Roma Downey actually participated in a book with this man, John Edward, and the book actually has, I'm going to give you the name of it, it's called Practical Praying, and John Edward wrote this book, and I remember he's a psychic who communicates with the dead, and they talk about the history of the rosary. And there's actually a CD that's available with this book of Roma Downey praying the rosary. So, now, Roma Downey also attended a university let me pull this up. She attended this university in California, and the man that started the university, his name is John Roger, and it's a New Age university, and she got a degree in spiritual psychology. So what is spiritual psychology? Now, this man, John Roger, now, this is a very scary person. This is the university where Roma Downey gets her degree in spiritual psychology. Now, he also claims to have a church. And the name of his church is the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, also called Messiah. Now that's very interesting. It says some former followers now call the Cadillac of cults. This man John Roger, he had a different name before. His name was Roger Hinkins, but he claims to have had a near-death experience, and then he changes his name to John Roger. And he's another one that speaks to the dead. Kind of scary, really. This is a little frightening. I was very alarmed when I learned these things about Roma Downey. She is a Catholic, or claims to be a Catholic, and I'm wondering how so-called intelligent people, like Jim Baker and Liberty University, which was founded by Jerry Falwell, it's now run by his son, and Daystar Network, TBN, the 700 Club, all these people had these people on their program. Now, did anybody ask her if she repented of these New Age associations that she's had as her and her husband both claim to be Christians? Why weren't they vetted? Why didn't anybody ask them what they really believe before they exposed millions of people to what I would say would be a dangerous movie? Now, Phil, you saw the movie, and so tell me about your experience.
Okay, I apologize for the background. My kids are, every time I have a radio show or something, I don't know, the spiritual realm gets stirred up and they start acting crazy. But anyway, so
Lord,
I apologize.
Give them peace.
Yeah, and I have a brand new microphone that picks up everything, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I prayed before the show and stuff, so. But, I went and took my family to see it. My wife was mostly into it. I don't believe in a lot of the movies in Hollywood, because if a movie is made it to Hollywood, then it's probably corrupted in the first place most of the time. Now, I was watching me and my son was watching an older film on Jesus, I was actually watching myself the oldest one. You remember 6-hour movies, Jesus of Nazareth. It was excellent. I mean, both Jesus of Nazareth and the other one, I can't think of the name right now, but they, one of them went by Luke, the book of Luke, exactly to the T. They didn't. You can actually read the Bible and look, and at the same time look at this movie, and it'll be perfectly, just perfectly verbatim out of the Bible, just straight out the Bible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see this movie. I've already saw the Bible series that they had on by the same by the same people, and it was terrible to me, at least.
Yeah, I thought so,
when we went to the Bible, too much ad-libbing, too much adage. It wasn't biblical.
No,
and
but
so
they claimed that it was. They claimed it was biblical, but it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, in the Bible talks about my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if you go into this movie and you feel comfortable, you need to read the Bible again.
Yeah.
And when you're done, you need to continue to read it because the Word of God is living, and you have to live. Jesus said that you can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So when you go see the movie, if you know even the simplest stories, you see error. Now, I didn't tell my wife in the theater, there's error. I kind of whispered to her. I let her watch the majority of the movie and said, "Do you realize there's error in this movie?" She said, "Yeah." For instance, Martha, or the lady that was accused of adultery, they brought her to Jesus. And Jesus was just sitting down, and the fake Jesus, I call him. And he said, "Master, this lady has sinned, you know." And so he picks up the rod, he holds it in the air. And because the camera work is excellent, it spins around with them, and and he holds it up in the air, and then he drops it, and he says, who has not sinned? And then he drops the rock, and they all leave. The one thing I notice about that. And I think it's the most effective thing is when Jesus tells the lady to go sin no more. That is the strongest preaching you can ever do if they were to put that in there, which they didn't. Another thing they didn't put in there, I guess you can call it splitting hairs, but as J. Vernon McGee would say, to not bend down and write in the sand. Now, people have been speculating what he has put in that for what was he writing on the ground. But if God wanted you to put it in a movie, I'm pretty sure he would like for Jesus to bend down and write in the sand. And the reason why I bring that up is because I call it splitting hairs. You know, I got it from J. Vernon McGee, and that means you're looking for reasons why you shouldn't watch that program because there's a naked guy on the program. Well, he has shorts on. Well, you're splitting hairs. It's the 21st century. Well, first of all, if I don't want my kids watching that, if I'm not going to watch a lady on the TV and I change the channel every time something happens, you know, and the people can call it splitting hairs. But anyway, let's go back to the movie. Another scene is Lazarus. What happened in the Bible with Mary and Martha. They come up to Jesus. One of the messengers come up to Jesus and say, your cousin is laying, or your friend, close friend is laying sick. You want to go see him. And Jesus delayed for 2 days, a couple of days, actually 4 days. And by the time he got there, he was deceased. And what got me is the method to the madness. Well, Jesus stood outside that tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. And he still had his clothes tied to him. So Jesus had to go, this fake Jesus had to go all the way in the tomb and practically beg Lazarus to get up. I mean, I call it begging. Everything that happened in that scene was important. The tears that Jesus shed, it to if you wouldn't have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But then for Martha saying, "You are the resurrection and the life." I mean, everything in that scripture shouldn't have never been taken out. It has to be taken out, you know, for them to make it in Hollywood. And another thing that caught me, I'm kind of going through these things quick, but another thing that caught me is 13 disciples. And the 13th is a female. Now, Jesus did have women. When it's all
disciples?
Said and done, all,
13 disciples?
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that. Yeah, female. One of them is a female. But we're all disciples, even if you are a female. That's not my point.
Yeah.
We're all disciples.
Yeah.
Disciples
right.
is to learn. It's to be learned. to be guided and learn. Now, we know, I can name them right now, the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Thalias, I can't even pronounce the name, Simon, Judas Iscariot. Now, there was a female they called Mary that was following them. And she seemed to be outspoken. And I guess that takes care of the women's lib movement for this movie. Because she was totally outspoken. And she had more brains in her finger than most of the disciples had in their whole entire body.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that I noticed about the movie was it's almost as if it was trying to send a message out that women running things and this is a feminist society. I don't know.
Yeah, because we know who
wears
the pants in that family.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, another thing that got me was when Peter was told to, I mean, okay, let me back up. When Jesus
we do have
went
a caller,
around,
and I am
going to
take the
them.
Call in a minute. I just want to let the caller know that I will be
okay.
taking the
okay.
call in a minute. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay.
Go ahead.
When Jesus came around, yeah, I'm good. When Jesus came around to walk on the water and it was storming, Peter was so excited. He was so excited. Oh, that's the master. Master bid me to come out. So he comes out. And this is the real Bible. This is the biblical Bible. He comes out and he's walking and he takes his eye off the Lord and puts it in the storm and then he sinks. So the movie was so theater that, first of all, Jesus told him to come out. Come out. Come on out. You come on out, you sissy. No, he didn't say that, but he came out to walk, and then he immediately started drowning.
Yeah.
And the movie had him drowning, literally, in under the water. Oh, you know, just, oh, I'm drowning, you know. And Jesus
oh, yeah,
came
Jesus
up.
Would do that, yes. That really sounds like something Jesus would do.
Jesus would do, yeah.
Leave a man
and
drowning to prove a point.
Yeah, and then the guy wakes up on the beach by itself, and then it goes to another scene.
Yeah.
And then another thing I've noticed is when Jesus, when Peter was in the boat. You remember the scene when Jesus first started inviting people to come follow him. Peter and Andrew and all these guys were going fishing, and you know he says throw your net on the other side, and they say okay if you insist. But if we haven't caught any fish, and I guess Jesus ended up in the boat. He said, "Go ahead and throw it on that side." So they threw it on the other side, and they picked up an enormous amount of fish. And then they were like, Peter was like, "Oh, you know, I'm ashamed. I'm a simple man." He says, "Well, after this, I'll make you go be a fisher of men."
Yeah.
So that's how it really happened. So how it happened in the movie is Jesus had to beg them, "We're going to go change the world." You know, like he Muhammad Ali or something. We're going to change the world. I'm going to make this world a better place. You know, it's follow me. You have to follow, you know. You kind of felt like it was too pushed, you know. And Jesus didn't do any of the stuff that the movie said. Jesus, for instance, he was walking past the temple. Instead of going in the temple and saying, you know, what he said, "These stones will not be left," you know, and he told his disciples actually nicely. He says, "It's, you know, these stones that you see that you're marveling," because eventually they asked him, look at the temple, master, it's beautiful. He says, "These stones will not, you know, they're not one be left standing." So he, instead of doing all of that, he bends down to a little girl, smiles at her, and says, "You see this temple, little girl? These stones will not be."
Oh, no.
And I'm like, really?
Ridiculous.
Somebody in this theater gotta know what's going on here. I mean, this is terrible.
Hey, you think all those so-called Christian leaders would have said there's something funny going on over here before they promoted these people in this film?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I was like, they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's see what the caller has to say, and then we'll get back because it's interesting. Hello, caller.
Yeah, hello, Sister Susan. Sister Susan. Yeah. This is Sonny for Christ.
Oh, great. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I had a feeling it was you. Yeah. That's why I wanted to get to the call. But anyway, Sonny, Phil, I want to introduce you to Sonny because he's actually an actor in Hollywood. And he
Praise God.
Yeah. And he met them or was somewhere with them with Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. So I wanted him to share briefly about his experience.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah,
thank you, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, basically, is you know, we have privileges being SAG member and belonging to the Film Society. We get to see all these promotions for free. I have not yet seen the movie, so I honestly can't comment on it. But I did see the Bible series, and I had been invited along with many. I'm nobody really. I'm not a celebrity by any means. Just I worked for a living for about 7 years and slowly got out of it as I was born again about 4 years ago. But it's intriguing when I went there to do the screening. I was expecting one thing, and I really got quite the opposite. First of all, they had a screening of about 40 minutes of all these 8 weeks of episodes. So fascinating that they only chose two scenes. And this is really funny how they excite people. They had two scenes, one Samson sleeping with Delilah, and the other one David looking at this naked Bathsheba across the house. I mean, Jesus was never met. I mean, you know, we as actors, we observe certain things, and I was telling my wife, look, I mean, of all the scenes they could have shown, they chose this sexual inciting scenes on earth.
Yeah.
I could not. And then, of course, they came to the stage, and just I have attended tens and hundreds of these behind-the-scenes things, and people come out, whether it's the actor or the director. It's such a self-promoting agenda. It's really pathetic. I actually, you know, after they, you know, we screened the viewing, they take, you know, you can go and meet them. First, they had questions. Of course, I never asked questions. And then I met, I says, who should I go to speak to? She says, always go to the opposing sex. So I went to Roma Downey, and I stood in line, and I got to talk with her. And I said, I'm an actor. I'm a born again, and I didn't get into details because here I am. I've watched already an hour and a half of absolutely nothingness.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, and then she gave me the time of the day. I said, well, do you have a card? I says, yeah, if you work on future projects, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I know my scripture, and I am an actor. I've been in a Christian film before, which was actually depicted more about Jesus than anything else. Of course, it bombed. But the funny thing is, I told her, if you have any, not only do I come from Bethlehem, but I have olive skin. I mean, who else could be in a movie like this? I could play any role, but I didn't think she was going to call me anyway. She had my resume. She had my headshot. They went on to make this movie, and I can imagine, if you've seen the Bible series, I'm sure you've seen all the flaws in that son of God. But the reason I really made my mind in calling you, Susan, is 2 weeks ago, I was invited for another screening of this show. I'm sure if you heard of it, but it's really great. It's called Vinci Demons.
What's it called? Because you, we lost him. Yeah, figures. As soon as he started talking about the demons, the call got dropped. But anyway, we'll get him back because Sonny now, I met him through Steve Lumley on Apostasy Watch. And I just found out actually a couple days ago, Phil, on Sunday, that he works in Hollywood and had met Roma Downey and her husband. So anyway, he's back, so let's put him back on. So I thought he'd be interesting to bring on with us. I didn't know he was going to call in for sure because he wasn't sure he could be here tonight, but I'm glad that he's joined us. But anyway, go ahead, Sonny. You're back.
Yeah. it was clear to me that I should call after what I've seen two nights ago about this producer. I mean, of course, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. He had a Jewish name. We all know, you know, who is a real Jew, according to Romans 2:28. And, you know, all these people that claim to know so much about biblical issues, well, and my head is saying, well, why is it Da Vinci's demons? And then they had so many related biblical issues combined with these satanic things. And I started thinking, why is Hollywood going towards that, you know, that route? It is, you know, it's so hard to connect the dots because, as it says in Ephesians 2:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And Susan, do you ever think about what moves these big-time money-making Hollywood producers and directors to bring forth such tremendous script and tremendous power behind the scenes to go through this? They don't have to. I really can't put it together. I can't yet connect the dot that towards the end of times that we are now, why would they even bother, beginning with Mel Gibson and The Passion a few years ago, and of course up to now? And it was number one, Susan, it was number one in the history, on that History Channel that Dago sees, it was number one show for 8 weeks consecutively. You know, you wonder, why do they go through it? And of course, a deceiver comes to give you 99% truth, and then he will deceive you with that 1%. The deceiver comes not in, you know, not in wolves' clothing. He comes in sheep's clothing. I still haven't figured it out, to be honest with you. Romans 10:9, where it says to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ, and as we know, Brother Steve has been good with translating the, you know, confessing means homologio, means acting Christ-like. And believe me, these people, I mean, especially this guy on stage, he was dropping the F-bomb word after word.
Ooh.
I didn't know what their background is. Two nights ago. This is the producer of this show, which is Da Vinci's Demons. I mean, it was so silly. But this guy, he first thought, this is his first sentence. Well, you know, Da Vinci is probably the most prominent, most famous person behind Jesus Christ. Where did he get that fact from? I don't think the Eastern Hemisphere even heard of Da Vinci, let alone. And I raised my hand. My wife says, please don't ask. She knows I'm pretty argumentative. And I said, I just want to ask them, when Da Vinci painted that picture, why on earth would he paint a picture of the disciples being 60 and 70 years old? Jesus Christ was the elder, and they were all younger than him. Not to take any genius away from Da Vinci, but who was Da Vinci really working for painting that picture, you know?
Yeah.
But this is, I really don't have much to share. I wish I'd seen the movie. For some reason, they haven't showed it to us, and I don't know why, but I'll get to see it at one point.
Oh, so they'll bring it, and they'll give you a showing there in Hollywood?
Yes, every weekend.
That's odd that they didn't show it. You know, they didn't show it to you.
Well, here's my experience, and I don't want to take it long from your guest. My experience sitting along in this 500-people theater is every time Jesus is mentioned in any movie, they would laugh and mock. And Satan could pop up and slap him in the face. They won't say anything. Comes up. So I imagine it wasn't going to fly showing this movie about God to such audience, because really when I sit there, sometimes I don't know why I'm there. But, you know, sometimes I tell my wife, I got to stop watching these movies, even if it's for free. But I'm always curious about these things, living in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, living in it, yeah. Yeah, because really there really aren't that many real Christians in Hollywood. It's a very new age from what I've observed of people that claim to be Christians in Hollywood. Very new age, and just like Roma Downey and Mark Burnett with sharing their testimony, And, you know, which Jesus are they really serving? It doesn't sound like the Jesus of the Bible or the Jesus that we know. It's another Jesus.
No doubt. I mean, she claims to be a Roman Catholic. If you look at her IMDb, every actor has an IMDb account to show their resumes and what and their biography. And she claims to be a Roman Catholic, which is not far-fetched, but she really doesn't even represent that. But I bet you that, you know, with this show that I just attended 2 days ago, they were in collaboration with the Vatican. They had scenes from the Vatican, actually.
Wow.
You see, this is the power behind these people.
Yeah.
This is my opinion, because it's huge production, tremendous production, you know, and it's a TV show. But, you know. Yeah.
There's more to the story of what goes on in Hollywood, because really they could do a movie, and Phil saw the movie, and they could do a movie that is biblically correct, and it would be beautiful. But they don't do it. They won't do it. And then they've passed this movie off as being a biblical movie on the story of Jesus Christ, and it's far from it.
That's not how it's done, Susan. Yeah, nobody can do it, because you have to understand, it has to be distributed. You could have the best movie ever made about Jesus. We can make it. You and I and all the believers can make it, but it would never get distributed, because you need huge power to distribute the movie. You know, do you know what I'm saying? It's the distributor behind the movie, and we all know who they are. So that's far-fetched from the truth.
Well, who did distribute this movie? Do you know, Sonny, who distributed the movie The Son of God?
Well, I could look it up. I haven't really looked. I could look it up now and see who was the distributor. But I know when I saw them in person, they were talking, like taking the Bible series to NBC and all these major companies. So I'm not sure who actually ended up, because they had such success when they showed the Bible series. It's all about that, getting your foot in the door, and it's all about money. So I can look it up, but thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I thank you for coming on, because I think it's an interesting perspective to get – to hear from someone that actually lives in Hollywood, works in Hollywood, and you've got a kind of behind-the-scenes perspective. Of course, you know, that's your job, and obviously the Lord
not
has
anymore.
You there for a reason. Oh, you're not working there anymore?
Well, I mean, think about it. How I can't do much of the things that they would have me go out for. So slowly but surely, God has worked with me that, if you look at my IMDb account, you won't see anything the past 3 years.
I thank God for you coming on tonight, Sonny, for giving us. I don't know why I'm getting an echo all of a sudden, but anyway.
Thank you very much,
your
Susan.
Testimony.
God bless you, Annie.
And thanks for sharing that with us tonight. Okay. God bless
Thank you, and God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Phil, we do have another caller. Let's see what the other caller has to say, and we'll get back to talking about your perspective. Hello, caller?
Okay.
Hello?
I'm just listening.
Oh, okay, then. God bless. All right, Phil, so give us some of the other scenes that you saw there.
I think the biggest thing for me, because my family was the only family in the theater. Now, this theater was packed, and we had some bad kidneys that night, because my family, I swear, everybody in that family got up at least three times to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I missed some scenes of taking my kids to the bathroom.
Oh, I
see. 5-year-old here.
Yeah,
but one of the main things, the biggest thing in that whole entire movie, and see, this is what I've noticed.
How long was the movie?
It was about 2 hours. But the main thing that I noticed, that the biggest thing that I'm noticing, even in the church world, is the word repent.
Yeah, right. I heard that they didn't really explain the plan of salvation.
Well, they didn't. Now, if you're going to have that many people watch a movie and you're a Christian, you would make sure that they would understand salvation.
Jesus died and what it really meant. Yeah.
And compared to the other movies, Jesus of Nazareth and the older movies, even the one made in the 70s, John the Baptist came off and said, repent, repent. And that was his main message, repent. And Jesus, first thing he said, besides changing the water into wine or whatever the heck it was called, the grape juice, is repent. And even the big churches today and the small churches, the church world is missing that point. Repent means to make an about face from your sins and turn towards God and walk towards God. And that's the biggest thing that I want people to know myself, is that not only does God save, but he also changes lives. And he takes you from where you were to where he wants you to be, which number one is heaven. But on this earth, he wants you to be free of all that garbage that you were, that most of the people that go see the movies today and live in America are depressed, and they don't know why they're depressed, because you got so much sin, you got so many things bogging down your body, you need to be set free, and that's what brings you peace, is to repent and turn from your sins and move towards God, and He will bring you the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring you peace. But anyway, the movie. For instance, Jesus, he had to convince, now, you know doggone well Jesus didn't have to convince Judas to betray him. Will you please betray me? I'm ad-libbing. I'm seriously ad-libbing. I'm just trying to be funny. But that's exactly, and I had to blink my eyes. You know how a lady blink when a black lady blink when she's like, what?
What the Word of God says, and then you're watching this movie, which is supposed to be about Jesus, made by so-called Christians.
I'm like, what?
And you're like, I know, that's how it was when I was watching some of that Bible series. I didn't watch too much of it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the Bible.
Yeah. And you need to know the Word of God. And the more I get older, I've been to some churches that were on fire for God, supposedly. And Potter's House, New Testament Church. These were churches that was 100%, following God. But the more I move away from that time, which is 10, 15 years ago, the more I realize that, God wants all of us, not just some of us, And these movies look it down. They make the Gospels just looky. And most of the people sitting in the church, if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, if that thing really happens, are going to be still here, And that's how great my life. I say, do you want to be still here? Do you want to live for Christ 100%, 1,000%, and give your whole entire life to Christ? It's not about going to church. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about the relationship with Christ before you even leave the house to go to church. I mean, you should be born again, blood brought, donate your whole entire life, everything. You go to the Lord. I mean, everything should be ran by the Lord. And he's both Lord and Savior. He's not just Savior. And a lot of people go to those movies. This movie has a particular of Jesus as just Savior. Matter of fact, most of the church world think he's just Savior. But he even says in John, if you keep my commandments, surely you're my disciple. Now, if you come up with the Ten Commandments or whatever he commanded in the Bible to do. And we have to live by that word every day, not just Sundays.
Yeah.
So this movie does Jesus this justice, and it does the gospel this justice, because it takes out so many main points. It just takes out, it just does it more damage than
you're right,
better
because
off going. And my wife said a key thing. She said, and she's the one got me to go to the movie. She said, why do you need this when you got other movies? You got the other movies, the earlier movies.
We've got the Bible. We've got the Bible. And it's not like we don't have Bibles in this country. We have Bibles. So I thought it was interesting, you know, what you're saying. I got an email from a friend, and I thought that his comments were terrific. He said, so you don't have to pay to see a movie whose own ads portray a myth of how Jesus looked. So don't listen to the voices that you have to pass and pay for a movie in order to see what's in it any more than you would follow Saul's example to visit the Witch of Endor to see your future. Rather, flee. Don't even go near the door, as Proverbs warns about prostitutes. And I thought that that was an excellent comment, because we don't have to go to the Witch of Endor to find out about Jesus. And I believe from the evidence that's been produced by Roma Downey's life, I don't know that much about Mark Burnett. I was trying to do some searches about really actually what he believes, and there wasn't that much information that I could find. Yeah. But as far as the information that's out there, pardon? The information that's out there about her is...
can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I can hear you.
Just making sure. Okay.
Yeah. The information that's out there about Roma Downey is quite astounding, especially attending this university there and getting a degree in spiritual psychology. And some of the points in this degree, and I'm just going to mention a couple of these because I think it's interesting. Because, you know, when you watch Roma Downey, you kind of get this, you know, you get a funny feeling from her. I do anyway. It's kind of mushy Christianity where anything goes and everything is beautiful, and We just want to love everybody, and we don't. We just want to focus on what we all believe, and what you know. We just want to love everybody, and it doesn't seem to really matter what they believe, as long as you say you're a Christian, and we don't want to know about your doctrine. So that's kind of this whole thing that's leading up to what I think is the One World Church and the Antichrist. And so I think that the devil uses these kind of movies and these kind of television programs to further deceive people, to get them away from the real Jesus and the God of the Bible, and get them away from reading the Bible for themselves, because we see that in churches so much today where people don't really read the Word of God. They don't really know the Word of God. They just go on Sunday, and so then they just accept anything that's said there, and then they'll go to a movie like this, and they'll think, wow, that is really the real Jesus. And they'll come away with a false perception of Jesus Christ. They don't really hear, like you said, the message of salvation. What really is salvation? I know there was a scene that they had showed on TV, a trailer from this movie, and supposedly Roma Downey, she plays Mary, the mother of God. Of course, Mary was not the mother of God. God does not have a mother. Mary was a vessel that God used to bring forth Jesus into the earth. But Jesus always was before he came. Now, I heard someone that had critiqued this movie saying that it didn't really accurately portray the fact that Jesus always was. It more or less portrayed, you know, that he was born then. Did they show in the movie the birth of Jesus?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't really, like I said, even when the movie first started, I just disappear and take somebody to the bathroom. But there's a lot of things that they missed. Now, I had told my wife, and I was kind of much, I was wrong as you know, as you can get. When I whispered it into her ear in the movie that the original 1970s version of the movie of the Bible was 6 hours long. I mean, and I...
6 hours.
The Bible, but here's my take on that. Even if it's 2 hours, then what you have in the movie, you need to be accurate. So, in other words, instead of bending down telling the girl that these stones won't be left from the temple, you need to tell who was in the Bible who actually you were telling, which is the disciples. You know, instead of having Peter walk on the, you know, Jesus had to tell him to come out the boat, excuse me, you should have it accurate where, you know, it because when you look at the Bible, we're looking at faith here when he says, bid me to come out on the water.
Yeah.
Now, he was looking at Jesus, and when he took his eyes off Jesus and put it on the storm, he sunk. That's an application that you still need to remain in the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's a lesson by itself. And when he tells the lady, the lady caught in adultery to go sin no more, that is the most powerful thing you can tell somebody. Because today's church live in greasy grace, where technically the same grace that split the Red Sea and the same grace that Jesus used to clean, you know, put some mud on somebody's eye and make them see or whatever, he didn't have to do any of that. He just say, you can see now. Go. Tell you, your servant's healed.
Yeah.
I mean, the same power that he used there is the same power that can separate you from alcoholism.
That's the same
power. And the Bible says in the last days, man will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof.
That's it.
What power? The power to separate you from your sins. You don't have to live daily looking at porn. You can be set free, my friend. You can be set free from that stuff. You don't need. So the movie takes away the power of God. The person of God. It takes away the eternity, like you said, the eternal, omnipotent God. This God is so fabulous. You got to be there. Because if you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to know how great this God is. And if you go to a movie like that, it's like drinking tap water for coffee. I mean, they diluted this thing so bad, it's just beyond me. I didn't tell my kids that because I'm gonna tell y'all folks, I was hoping that there was a message there for at least my older daughter and my middle son. And I would be better off taking the Jesus of Nazareth movie, splitting it up into six different pieces and having my kids watch that rather than watch anything that comes out of this dowdy lady, whatever the heck her name is.
Yeah, well, they were...
I don't even say her name.
They were saying it's going to introduce people...
How bad it is.
...to talk about Jesus.
Enough of my talk.
And, you know, here is... now, like I was saying, Aroma Downey had attended this university in Santa Monica to get a master's in spiritual psychology, but this is the program, the spiritual psychology program, and you'll probably see this in the movie. And here's some of the things that she studied: experiencing enhanced spiritual awareness through knowing yourself as a divine being having a human experience. Manifesting greater success and fulfillment personally and professionally. Transforming your consciousness and your life by integrating the principles and practices of spiritual psychology. Mastering powerful soul-centered basic skills, tools for spiritual evolution. Resolving your own issues, anything that disturbs your peace. Aligning with your soul's purpose. Participating with a community of like-hearted individuals. Discovering your own answers to these essential questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? How can I make a meaningful contribution? Just like the Jesus that they portrayed in this movie where he says, and we're going to change the world. Like, I didn't know Jesus said that. I don't remember hearing him say that. Did you ever hear him say that? Phil? Oh, we lost Phil. Anyway, he'll call back in. I guess he got a bad connection. They seem to have some bad connections tonight. First we lost Sonny, and then we lost Phil. So, anyway, he'll call back in. But you kind of see this whole New Agey theme from, I haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to see it, but Phil saw it, and you see they kind of portray this kind of weak Jesus, and also, like I was saying about the scene where, you know, Mary comes and Jesus says something to her when he's going to the cross, and Roma Downey says on TV, well, Mary was the mother. Well, Mary knew she was not his mother. She knew her role was to bring forth this child, and yes, you know, she did help raise him from who must have been a very amazing child. Imagine Jesus. He has the mind of God. He's God. He has, and he's a child. So just imagine what kind of a child he was. But Mary knew who she was, and she knew that she wasn't his mother because God does not have a mother. But anyway, Phil says he can't get back on. He can't get his line to work. So anyway, we'll see. Maybe he will be able to get back on for the last few minutes because I'm sure there were some other scenes that he wanted to talk about with this movie. And my guest, Sonny, I'm so glad he came on because he's got an interesting perspective on how Hollywood works, what really goes on there when you're involved actually there. And it's kind of a smokescreen, I think, of what real life is. I think it's very political there. Most of us that have been in churches most of our Christian life in 20 or 30 years know about the politics that go on in churches. So you could imagine what kind of politics goes on in Hollywood, you know, especially when you're talking about big money. Big money. There's big money to be made in that industry. And how many people actually make it big in Hollywood? Not too many actors and actresses ever achieve the kind of fame where they're making $10 million or $20 million a picture. It's a different kind of life. It isn't a real world. How many of those people are really happy? Because you can't find real happiness in your life and real joy in your life unless you know the one who can give you that peace and that joy, and that's Jesus Christ, the real Jesus. You don't have to go see a movie to find out what the Bible says or who the real Jesus is. You merely need to get a copy of the New Testament and read about his life. You can find the real Jesus. He gave us his word, and it's a guidebook, really, on how we are to live our lives. And It's a book about his life, about why he came to earth. He died for our sins so we wouldn't have to die in our sins, because we're all sinners. We've all missed the mark. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why, and I've heard this before about this movie, that they don't really talk about repentance and who Jesus really is, why he came to die, and explain the plan of salvation, offer people the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have a real born-again experience. You must be born again. I don't even know if that was said in this movie, because Jesus said it in the third chapter of John. He said, ye must be born again. He said it. And if he said it, that means that that's the only way to get to him, is to be born again. And you can have a brand new life in Christ. Your old life passes away, and you get a brand new life. Your sins are forgiven, and you don't have to live feeling guilty, because your sins will be forgiven. And God doesn't remember your sins once he forgives you and you confess them and you repent. So ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Get out your Bible and read the Bible and find out what the Bible has to say. And I would advise people to stay away from this movie. Don't waste your money. Give your money to somebody that needs it. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I'm sorry we lost Phil, but we'll be back again next week with my guest Jackie Alnor, and we'll be talking about ghost writing and Christian plagiarism. So you want to check that out. I want to thank my guest for being here. Thanks, Sonny. And thank you so much, Phil, from the Prophecy Zone. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.